Amen. Well, as I was just waiting on the Lord to see where he wanted to take us tonight, one of the things that I was impressed upon was about the awareness of the supernatural, the awareness of heaven, and how we are so caught up in our carnal mind where we don't have any spiritual mind. And I feel that God is saying to us, we need to enhance our spiritual mind and meditate on the things above and really dwell on the supernatural end of life, the realm that doesn't exist to most of us, needs to become real. And what I'm saying is that there are numerous amount of angels that are working on our behalf. There are numerous amount of examples that are in the Bible that's the book that bears witness of what happened in my life, so that I can refer back to certain things. But for example, how about the story of Lot? Or not Lot. Yes, Lot. Where Lot was praying and God said, I'm going to destroy the city. And he said, you know, well, let me just find a couple of righteous people, and got all the way down to one and couldn't find one. But there was angels that were sent in, right? Yep. That took on forms of people. You didn't even know that they were angels, because the people said, let's beat them up and rape them and, you know, yada, yada, yada. And Lot was pleading to him. He even said, take my daughters. Did he say something like that? Because Lot knew that they were angelics. They were angelic supernatural beings. And he didn't want any harm done to the realm of that supernatural place. So he was willing to sacrifice his own children, his own family, so that they wouldn't be hurt. That's one example. Another example is where Job, you know, Satan came up to Job and said, let me destroy him. And God was like, well, let me take a look at his life. And then said, okay, well, look, you can hurt him, but don't kill him. And so then all of a sudden, Job developed all these plagues and shortcomings that happened on his life. To be aware of the supernatural, I believe, will help us become more conscious about life in itself. And there are so many examples that are written about angels helping out and demonic forces taking control. How many of us are aware of that right here? Okay. Now, throughout our days, how often do we ask God or even try to see the world beyond us? You know, we get caught up with all the issues of this world. And one day we're going to be gone. We're going to be leaving this earth. And we can't take anything with us, none of our accomplishments with us, nothing. Everything is just left behind, so to say. And one of the things that have been impressed on my heart was, store your treasures up in heaven. Don't store them here on earth, where moths and you know, rust begins to destroy them. So you say to yourself, okay, well, what is those treasures? They're definitely not monetary things, right? So what would they be? Knowledge. But knowledge is, if you're storing your treasures up in heaven, knowledge, you would have to do something. It would be more of a work, wouldn't it?
One thing you take with you is the condition that you're in.
Yes, the condition that you're in. And I share this with most people, that it's very important in this dimension, in this world, in this earth, is to condition your heart in peace, joy, and righteousness. We have to cleanse ourselves from feeling guilty, feeling ashamed, feeling condemned in any way, shape, or form. I want to tell the world out there that they're listening is they have done nothing wrong. Nobody has done anything wrong. How many of us actually understand that one? We do things wrong when we were told, and we still continue to do what we were told not to do. And I know there are some of us here that are guilty of that. I mean, I myself are probably guilty of that. But that's when we have to be really careful. But for the most part, if someone doesn't know that it's wrong, or that they're hurting somebody, or, you know, whatever it might be, then they're still innocent. And when I am saying that we have to be more aware of the spiritual realm around us, that's pretty much exactly what I'm trying to say, is that the condition of our heart, obtaining the utmost peace, the utmost joy, and the utmost righteousness, so that we can literally leave this earthly body and go into another realm. I believe that there are several realms that we're going to be entering into, and how is that transitioned? I don't know. It's still a mystery, but I know it's just not going up into heaven and ooh and singing the angels. There's going to be a lot of things that are going to be done. As you were commissioned on earth before you came here, and how many was here on Sunday that heard that one message? If you haven't heard it, log on to our website, and it's recorded, and you'll be able to hear that I spoke about. We have a job to do. Not only do we have a job to do, but we were commissioned before the foundations of the world. You look at Jesus as an example in the Bible. The angels, the heavenly host, already was seeking who was worthy to go. And he was appointed and said, him, he's worthy. And then so they voted him in and delegated him to go down. And then, boom, into the womb of Mary. And then from there, we know the history of his life. But to be knowledgeable and aware of the supernatural, the heaven, the realms of the universe that we once came from, if we meditate on that throughout our daily life consciously, the things of this world do begin to fade away. You're not so caught up in this world. You're not so troubled. You're not so upset. You know that it's only a matter of time. We're going to all be there. And one of the most biggest challenges is overcoming fear. And if we can overcome fear, we actually have overcome death. And I believe God is trying to say to us that I want you to overcome death. And now, we can overcome death in many, many areas. I want to talk about just the natural death of us worrying, the natural death of us being troubled, the natural death of us. Because if you can take away that out of your life, you have taken death out of your life. If you can remove these areas in your heart, you actually have conquered death. Isn't that wonderful? And so I believe that God is just trying to knock on our door and say, listen, don't be so consumed with the world around you right now. Meditate on the things above. Meditate on the fact that there are angels that literally go before us and help us out. I read, you know, on Sunday I've been speaking a message about the promises and how those promises were already planted in us from the day that we were born. And they were already established in heaven. It's a book of promise that is written on your heart that was established in heaven prior to us even coming down here. And we are to live out that promise. And that promise just brings us a joy and a peace and a righteousness when we are in it. As soon as we come out of it, the reason why we come out of it is because we focus too much on the world. We're meditating on the things of this world, the carnal things. And to be carnally minded is death, according to God. But to be spiritually minded, it's life. And so I want us to come into a place where we are spiritually minded and stop focusing so much on the carnal realm and the carnal life everything's going to be okay. Has anyone ever told you that everything's going to be okay? Has anyone ever said it to yourself that everything's going to be okay? And we need to begin to start believing that everything's going to be okay so that we can conquer death, so we can conquer that fear. And then I truly believe that's when we become born again. That's when we become fully absorbed into our spirit nature, and then that nature of life can begin to flourish. I don't know about you, but I want to move on. I want to go into that supernatural realm and just move on and watch God supernaturally do things for me, which I know that He actually does want to. I believe that we disturb the realm of promise by us worrying, by us focusing on the carnal world. Our hearts automatically get troubled. Think about it. You meditate on a bill, or you meditate on something that costs X amount of dollars, and you look at your finances and see, oh, I don't have that. Well, instantly, what do we begin to start doing? Worrying. I truly believe that that starts to set in motion, just like how the devil came up to God and said, let me destroy Job. Well, yep, his heart is getting troubled. You know what? You got rights. You got legal rights to go in there and disturb some things. Add some fear, you know, create some trouble, you know. And I don't believe that we need to live this way. Job did. And started throwing ashes. Right. And we're going to have to probably have to let you share that with the public that's listening right now. As John was saying, that Job didn't have any idea what was going on, and he took things in his own knowledge. So he stripped down, you know, and basically showed himself his way of humbling himself, and just was crying out to God in his own humility, in his way of what he thought was humility, and was crying out, saying, why? What have I done to cause this issue? Well, you mentioned knowledge earlier. Knowledge helps. Not the carnal knowledge, but the spiritual knowledge of understanding how to be free from these things. How many of us are truly sick and tired of hitting like walls? Hitting areas of like uncertainty and like roadblocks and things just drag on and they take forever. It seems like, oh my God, why is this taking forever? Or you just can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Always questioning why. Well, this is the purpose of this ministry, to set us free from that, so that we can become more into the divine nature of who we really are and strip away the carnal nature. Because the carnal nature is death. And if you can pretend, if you are wearing like a rubber suit, and it's just a matter of unzipping this rubber suit and taking it completely off, strip the flesh away, and walk out of that rubber suit, because that rubber suit is kind of restricting you to breathe, to actually feel comfortable, to live, you know, and you just can't wait to take it off. Just unzip it and take it off, and then you'll be free. Well, the carnal mind and the carnal way of thinking and all the, I call it the immaturity of life, is causing us to live so troubled because we just don't know the truth. We just don't know the fact that God has already have given us a life. We just don't know that everything is going to be supplied according to his riches and glory. We just don't know that, you know, our path has already been laid out before us and we just need to come into it. You know, God can speed our lives up or he can, like, delay them. I look at the fact that we were, the Israelites were walking around in the desert, and the facts say that they could have made it to the promised land half the time, or like within a day or two, I don't know, something ridiculous. But what happened was, because they were so carnally minded, they were worried about what their food, you know, they were worried about the sun shining on them, they were worried about everything. They were just constantly complaining and worrying, and they were just so carnally minded. Well, that's another, I haven't gotten to that yet, John. John just mentioned about after even seeing all those miracles, they still,
and we're all like that,
carnally minded.
We have so many miracles in our
life. It just takes us to a place of being carnally minded. So with the Israelites, if they would have just been able to basically hear Moses and see what happened in Moses' life and how his life was changed, and he's like taking them out of Egypt and going to a promised land. He's saying, listen, I'm leading you to a promised land. If you just would believe me and come on, let's go, we'll get there. But what did they do? They didn't believe him. They really didn't believe him. And they just took it on their own carnal thoughts. They just constantly kept going back to Egypt, so to say. I want to go back. That's where we had provisions. I want to go back. I don't want to be here. I want to go back. They couldn't see. They couldn't see. I hope the world out there will begin to hear what I'm saying so that they can begin to see. One of the things that God says is, my children suffer, or they're destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Now, we know that it's not carnal knowledge. We know for a fact that it's not carnal knowledge. The sufferings that we bring on ourselves is a spiritual knowledge. And this is one of the reasons why I, myself, is here, and some of the other pastors are here, and even John here tonight, to be able to offer us and the world the spiritual knowledge so that we can, I want to say, grow up, literally. It's we're babes. We're literally babes, and we're walking around completely in this realm of infanthood. And we just need to grow. And as we grow in the spirit, we're actually growing mature. I have an opportunity to speak to people in their life, and if I can catch them at a real early age, they'll mature faster than most individuals. Those that don't have this knowledge, my goodness, they'll be, you know, close to their old age and still carrying on like a little child and never, never, ever grow up. It's amazing how the Spirit sets us free. So as we begin to meditate on the things in the realm of the spirit, the supernatural, the universe, knowing that there is another realm besides the earthly realm, we can conquer fear. Why does fear exist? It's a good question, isn't it? And 99.9% the reason why fear exists is because you are just trying to protect yourself. But if you can surrender yourself, literally just lay your life down, give it to the universe, give it to God, give it to my God, give it to my God that you can't see, the God of faith. Just give it to him. You have just demolished fear. You wiped it out. Fear only exists because you're just trying to protect yourself. You don't want to be hurt. You don't want to be disappointed. You don't want to be let down. That's where most of the arguments come from, too. we're constantly arguing with ourselves. We might not be like looking at ourselves in a mirror and arguing, you don't understand, blah, 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 blah. But we argue. We argue to ourselves. How am I going to do this? Oh, my goodness, how is that going to happen? Actually, it's arguments. Your worries are arguments because we're just trying to find answers. We're looking for answers. We're trying to justify ourselves and look for answers, and we're constantly questioning. Now, I like when John brought up about Lot or Job, when he stripped himself down based in his knowledge, and he thought he was coming to a place of humility based in his knowledge, and we all know that that's not humility. And he was questioning God, why? And how many of us know that one particular person, Paul, when he was saying, please take this thorn out of my side. I can't deal with this anymore. Would you just take this thorn out of my side? And what was the reply of God? That's right. He basically looked at Paul and said, who are you? Where were you? My grace is sufficient. My knowledge is sufficient. And so basically he said, deal with it. We need to really begin to understand that God's love, for one, chastens the ones he loves. So if we're being chastened, if we feel as though that we're being held up for something, don't get upset. Don't get nervous. I used to tell my kids, oh, we're being delayed because, you know, who's to say that somewhere down the road there isn't an accident, we just avoid it. Or somewhere along the line, you know, there was some trouble up ahead that we didn't realize. If we can bring ourselves to a place of knowing that God's love for us is only there to protect us all the time, then we can have confidence to know that anything that is like on delay is for our best interest. Somewhere, somehow, some way. You know, for example, how many of us are longing for something? Okay, and we want it like yesterday. Okay. And we tend to like dwell on it. And we get upset, we get nervous, and you know, we're like, oh. And how many of us had maybe like 10 different opportunities and all 10 of them tend to fail? And we're like, oh God, what's wrong? How come it's not happening? It seems like every time the door's closing, boom, boom. And then we start feeling like we want to give up. Has anyone ever felt this way? Okay. Well, I'm here to tell you to change the way you're thinking. It's only the protection of God. He's only setting things in place, and he's fighting battles for us far ahead that we can't even see, so that when we do come into a place, so to say, it's already cleared out. How many of us want God to come before us? I sense meatballs. How many of us want God to go before us? I love it. I want God to go before me. I don't want to go before God. You know how many times I feel like I'm going before God and he just kind of puts a stop to it? I was sharing with a wonderful woman earlier, not too long ago, about how sometimes I feel as though that I have all these things to do, and it's like, oh man, I got to get to this, I got to do that, I got to do this, and I got to do that, and you know, I feel guilty. And I have to realize, Don't feel guilty. Don't feel bad. Wait until God moves you. Wait until you feel good about ready to do it. Like, for example, there's a project that I have to look at, and it seems like a couple of weeks went on, and throughout the couple of weeks, I picked up some materials, and, you know, they're there. Everything's there. But there's something being held up. Something is being held up. And we have to ask ourselves, what is being held up? Well, there's a battle. There's a battle in heaven that God is beginning to fight for us. I didn't realize that was so funny. Maybe it's the Holy Ghost laughter. And we got some pain over there. You being delivered? Good. Something's happening. You know, God's moving. And I say, yes, Lord, deliver them. Yes, Lord, more joy. You know, this is what it's all about. And so let God begin to work on us. He's fine. He'll be fine. He'll be fine. If I felt that we needed to get the emergency squad in here, I'd give you the old 911 call. Let God deliver us. Let God set us free. Let God do what He wants to do. But to be spiritually minded is life. To be carnally minded is death. And if I had to leave tonight with something, I would say, meditate on the things above. Know that God is setting a path for us. And the more we come to a place of humility and true humility, not like Job's humility by stripping ourselves down and thinking we're coming into a place of humility by crying out, why? Because the last thing you want to do is question God and say, why? You know, I've seen so many examples in the Bible that when they started questioning God, why, all of a sudden it seemed like righteous anger just came out from heaven. Where were you when I tied a ring around Leviathan's nose and set the stars in heaven, and my grace is sufficient enough for you? And then enough crying and weeping to where you sweat blood. God, why have you forsaken me? I mean, to say why to God is like dangerous. Yeah, and he was sweating blood. It's dangerous. We should never question the universe, the power of the universe, the power of creation. My God, I've learned in my life never to question. The thing that I was questioning, and was not too long ago, why? Why have you chosen me? Yep. Why have you called me to be a pastor? And why have you chosen me to be a pastor? Why have you done this in my life? And I had to repent. I had to come to a place of repentance and stop asking why and begin to accept it. And now I've accepted it, and I'm going 100% and saying, you know what? That's what I am. I'm a pastor. I'm a minister. I'm an apostolic minister, and I work in signs and wonders and miracles, and God has chose me, and that's just the way it is. And if you don't believe it, that's okay. You can live in fear, and you can live in death. Me, I will become born again and have a new life. And I'm storing my treasures in heaven. And getting back with that, how do you store your treasures in heaven? I'm going to tell you, and I shared this with somebody before, you serve unconditionally. You forsake yourself, and your interest, and lay that completely down and serve unconditionally. And give yourself 100% to others, despite how you feel. And if you can serve unconditionally this way, you're storing all your treasures up in heaven. And I hope that we can be an example. I can be an example. And I'm hoping that when I leave this earth, I'll be rich, filthy rich in heaven. But that's not my motive. My motive is actually, and I'm going to tell you, my desire, my main desire is to be in the glory. It's not how, you know, big my mansion is or how rich I'm going to be. It's to be in the center of that glory, in the realm of glory, to hear that honor and glory where heaven has given even Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that realm of glory, to be in that throne room of God, to be in that place. I have testified and experienced the glory. And because of that, that's where I want to go. And I believe that it's possible for me because I once saw it. If I never saw it, then I can't say it's possible. But I know I saw it, so it's possible. And I feel that I have a job to bring everybody to that glory. And so if I can just have everyone's head bowed for a moment, I want us to really focus in the supernatural. You know, there's a place where we can all come to right now and throw our cares away. Look, God knows what you need. But there's another realm that you don't know of, and I don't talk about it much, and I'll call it dark forces. I'll call it darkness. I'll call it evil. I'll call it principalities and powers. I'll call it there to rob, steal, kill, and destroy that are working. And we're fueling it by fear. We're fueling it. Your roadblocks, your holdups, God has to fight a bigger battle. Your delays is because God is fighting a bigger battle. He's constantly fighting on your behalf. And if we can like ease up the battle by having spiritual knowledge, by coming into the supernatural, by understanding the realm that we can't see, and take this knowledge and begin to lay it down in our hearts, plant it deep and live it, we're going to make the battle easier for God. And maybe to the point where there may not be any more battles before us. And they're all completely conquered. And we overcame and conquered every battle. So, Lord, I ask tonight, those that are listening, to impart this wisdom in us so that we can truly see the warfare that is over our life and that we're a cause of the warfare by our insecurities of your love, by us not being able to trust you as much as we feel as though that we need to. We know that you have our best interest. You have created us and wrote your promises on our heart. Lord, let us know that you're faithful and just to fulfill those promises. You know our needs because our needs is everything that you desire. It's our wants. So if it's another place for us to relocate, that's your one. If it's another job, that's our one. That's your one. If it's a business, that's your one. You know our needs already. You already know our needs. So let us put them in your hands. If it's to be delivered in areas of our life, let us lay those deliverances down. Stop worrying about it. Stop worrying about if we're acting right or not. Stop worrying about if we're being good or bad. Stop worrying if we're doing the right thing. You guide us, you lead us, you direct a righteous person's footsteps. Let us begin to walk in your ways. Impart this revelation so that it becomes life. And we begin to meditate and become spiritually minded so that we're not carnally minded and we live in death, but we're spiritually minded and we live in life, and that life is eternal. I pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise and receive what he has to say today, and try as much as you possibly can to meditate and dwell in that supernatural. And the first thing that I can say to you is just when worry starts to creep up, just begin to say, God has a plan. When worry begins to start to creep up, just say, God is in control. And when worry begins to creep up, just say, I'm laying it down at his feet. And everything's going to be okay. And you will see, all of a sudden, new light will come in. New ideas, ambition, strength. All these things will become to you. Peace and joy. We have to break the traditions. We're so full of traditions. Generational curses. How we were told it has to be done, and the way things have to be done, and how those things are done. But God knows our needs. And he'll either send angels to help us or people with angels on them and in them. And he'll get it done. He'll make a way where there is no way.